Blog Talk Radio.
It's in there, and I'm afraid to go too much farther than where I'm at. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patch. I'm the studio person for Reverend Harris and Dr. Kennedy on their blog talk here, Real Doctor One Talk. Real Talk One Doctors, excuse me. I'm used to doing my own blog talk, and here we are. We have Dr. Kennedy, I believe. Dr. Kennedy, is that you?
You're making me laugh, Pat. You're making me laugh. I'm telling you, that's okay if you get the name back to front. If, as long as you get the one talk with Real Talk or Number One Doctors or any combinations of that, we'll go for it. But it's so good to hear your voice.
Dr. Kennedy, I'm going to... Yeah, it's just the two of us right now. Reverend Harris has not called in yet.
All right.
I sent a text to him, so he should be calling in shortly. So if
yes,
you want me to stay on the line with you and we can, I can be the comic relief, I will. Otherwise, I'm going to go on to the side and just listen as you start
the
program.
Do you have any good jokes to open up the show with? Do you have any good jokes? To open up the show with?
None that I'm going to speak of over the radio, no.
Okay, I was just testing you to see if you knew protocol.
Yes. Oh, I know protocol, believe me. I've been called on it. Not here, but on other radio. A different radio, I should say.
Well, let me greet the people. It's good to hear you, and thank you always, Pat, for taking care of our board. We could not do this if we didn't have your help to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so pleased to be with you this evening. This is Blog Talk Radio, Real Talk. Yes, it is. Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. Mm-hmm. Write that down somewhere. Put that somewhere on your dashboard, in your tablet, on your iPod, wherever you want to put that. Tattoo it on your forehead if you want to. Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. We are very pleased to be with you this evening. We love our show because it shows that technology can work for anybody. I am over 3,000 miles away from Reverend Floyd D. Harris and Brother Patch. And so all three of us come together in this moment in time to share information with you. And I am just so thankful that I can be with you this evening. I actually pulled over on the side of the road. We keep it moving, brothers and sisters. We keep it moving. We are doing this show on the train. We're doing it in the car. We're doing it as the police is pulling us over. What else have we been able to do? Some places would rather not say, but we have done this show, and we are so thankful to be back on the air. You know, we took a little break there for a minute. And you know what? It was good. We all need a break, but not a break from the issues, but a break to just reassess our show to see if we really need to, if we're filling a gap, if we're filling a need. And we had so many people saying to us that they needed to hear our show. They wanted to make sure that we had a voice in the social justice movement. They wanted to make sure that we were speaking truth to power. They wanted to make sure that Reverend Harris was reminding them of where we come from and why we are treated the way we are in this country, the super nation. And yet our black men are at risk. Our black men, in so many ways, they are hunted down like wild animals and treated worse than animals. Because as Reverend Harris said the other day, you can shoot an animal, and you're not going to shoot the animal multiple times. But yet for a black man, you will shoot him multiple times. And so I know, brothers and sisters, that we say, sister, sister, sister. Wait up, sister. Wait up, sister. You cannot keep talking about the police if you're not going to talk about our black brothers and black-on-black crime. Listen to me. I get it. I really do. But we still have to take care of business. And it's a trickle-down effect. If our establishments will respect who we are and show us respect for who we are as people, we can then pass that on. Sure, it comes out of the home, but when we send our children to these institutions to be educated and they get brainwashed with what they educate them with, no wonder they don't have a sense of self-regard. The young people open up a book, they don't see them in the book. Many of our young people go to school and they don't even see but one or two people, if that. Who looks like them. Sometimes some institutions have only one black male that they will ever come in contact with during their educational experience. And so, again, we're all in this together. Our black pastors, our black churches, they need to speak into the lives of these young people. You know, it's not the majority of young people that are doing black-on-black crimes. And if you follow the statistics and if you follow the analysis, you will begin to understand that there is a pattern that is designed for our black men who turn around and out of survival, out of turf, that is survival. Turf is survival. Don't get it twisted now. Turf is survival. And when they do what they got to do to maintain who they are, they will even resort, unfortunately, to violence. But we have to get that message across to them. And if we're going to be so bourgeois that we turn our noses up at our brothers and sisters who are on the other side of the track, then shame on us. We are creating the black-on-black crime. Because you went to school, you learned in sociology about fight or flight, and you yourself will preserve what's rightfully yours and what you think is important, and you will do it at any means necessary. And so don't be fooled. Don't try and fool me or twist me up thinking that, oh, you're such a goody-two-shoe that you would not go out and preserve what you have. So our brothers are doing the same. We just need to get them, get the message to them to let them know you have some other choices. But we have to build an establishment and an institution so that they can go into those institutions and find a solace, go into those institutions and find refuge, go into those institutions and find an understanding, find hope, find sensitivity, and find compassion, and find resources. So we're here tonight. I hope that I am on air because I am all pumped up right now. I don't hear Reverend Harris. I don't know what that means. Am I on here? Am I on the air? Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, you're
I was
on here.
Because I told you, good. Because I tell you, I was rolling on that. I just wanted to make sure we got all of that. I was like, man, what if I'm not on the air and I'm saying all this stuff?
No, we're on the air with 22 minutes and 27 seconds left. Dr. Kennedy,
okay.
Reverend Harris, we just called and left a message for him.
Okay, well, let's roll it. Let's roll it. Let me continue.
Go on ahead.
As a spirit leader, we say, you know, we are spiritual people, are people from the African diaspora. How in God's name did you think they made it through slavery? If they didn't have some kind of spirituality towards them, they would never have made it through the slavery era. They would never have become that economic resource for this country. They never would have been able to have made it being separated from their tongue, from their tribe, from their nation. They never would have made it. They never would have made it. So we are spiritual people. So we call upon the Spirit to move us to speak truth to power. I know that we like to think of Jesus as being blue eye and blonde hair and, you know, all of that good stuff. And that's okay. Yeah, look, if you want to put a DNA on Christ, go ahead and do that. But that's not where I'm going with this conversation. What I'm going with this conversation is that even no matter what you want to put on him, he was a radical brother. He did not play. He said it like it was. He took action. He was no one to reckon with. He took action, and he would come up against the establishment, and he would say his famous words that he says, render to Caesar what is Caesar, and render to God what is God. Listen, when somebody tells you that, that means they understand exactly where they're coming from. And what we are doing on the show is rendering to Caesar what is Caesar. We're saying to Caesar, who is the establishment, enough is enough. We're saying to Caesar, who is the establishment, enough of your systems, your systematic process that can look at a child from the child is in the third grade and you have a nerve to put a label on our children and say that child is going to be going to either college or to the prison system. You are already generating economic on our children that goes to your school. Enough is enough. And I want to challenge us as black people. And those of you who are retiring out of your teaching assignments, those of you who are retiring out of the social services, those of you who are retiring even out of the penal system, the judiciary system, I want to challenge you, don't retire and sit back and play golf. Don't sit back and just go ahead and travel and smell the flowers. All of that is great, but come back to your community and set up systems so that your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren can have an opportunity, because the way things are right now, we are going to be a lost nation. The way we are right now, things are right now, we'll be wondering, what the heck is a black man? What does that look like? What is the definition of a black man in this country? You see how they have treated this black president. Now, get me right, get me straight. He may not have done everything right, but listen, if you're going to go there with me, can we talk about Carter? Did Carter do all the right things? Let's talk about Gerald Ford. Did he do all the right things? For a matter of fact, let's talk about Reagan. I'm still trying to figure out what happened with the Contras. I'm still trying to figure out why Oliver North won't tell us really what went down during his watch. So if you really want to go there, we can put an accusing finger on every single president, including the so-called founding fathers. But instead of that, we would disregard and disrespect this man. We would handcuff him. We would try to muffle him. We would try to stop him in every which way. And isn't it ironic that his sparring partner, who was the Speaker of the House, had to step down even before he stepped down? Ooh, don't even let me go there. Don't even let me go there. Reverend Harris, get on the line so you can rescue me, because I tell you, I feel it coming on. I feel an anointing coming on. Isn't it interesting that our president, I said our president, I'm not ashamed. There is no shame in my game. Isn't it interesting that he is still standing in his position while the Speaker of the House, who tried to tie him up in every which way, had to finally step down. So listen, if we don't get it together, brothers and sisters of the African diaspora, if you do not get it together while this man is still in office for the next few months, shame on you. Shame on you. All right, is Brother Harris there?
Hello, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, brother. Yes, sir, we can hear you loud and clear.
Welcome to Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. We are live again. It's Monday. It has been a long weekend for all of us, especially me, going down to Stockton, California, doing documentary on police brutality down there in that city. And, Doc, what we got on the board today? It sounds like I get on the radio and you have the real, you're on fire about something. I want to know what you're on fire about.
Oh, that's all right, brother. You're going to have to go back and listen to the show. I just open my mouth and let the Spirit move me. That's all I've been doing. Today the Spirit spoke through me. So you listen back with my brother, and we can talk about what it is I said. But I'm trying to encourage my brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to encourage us as a black race, because we're so divided right now. And we know why that is. But we've got to come together and start looking over our shoulders like we're better than the other person. We've got to stop that mess, because our lives are too precious. Our black brothers are too precious for us to be discarding them like they're disposable. And so that's my message tonight in many, many ways, in many, many words. That's my message tonight. So, Brother Harris, how are you doing? I tell you, we are keeping our eyes on you, because you have a 20,000 bounty on your head. And we're determined to make sure nothing messes with you. You have a $20,000 bounty on your head. And we're going to make sure that we know your every move, because we do not want these people. Suddenly you disappear, and next thing we know, they're running you down, trying to find you. You have a $20,000 warrant. That's a bounty, in my opinion, upon your head to go into the courts of California to defend yourself under some bogus warrant. What did they give you the warrant for, Brother Harris? You want to share that with us?
Well, you know, Dr. Kennedy, you know me, I always have to refer back to history, and what history has taught us, that any time a black man stands up in America, the first thing America wants to do is assassinate our character and who we are as a person. We have to understand that the Constitution of the United States of America was not put here to benefit black people. When we look at the Constitution of the United States of America, it said that black people were 3/5 of a human here in this country, and the country still look at us as that 3/5 of a human being. And so this is why, one reason why that you see our children being gunned down across America. And so I just happen to be one of those ministers who believes in the Constitution that I have a right to speak. I have a right to march. But what's interesting, Dr. Kennedy, now in the country, we have to get permission to march. We have to get permission to go walk in the streets. We have to get permission almost to protest right now. And so I guess the city of Fresno has decided that I have caused, from what the officer had told me, that I'm costing the city too much money. I'm costing the city too much money and resources by not getting a permit. And so by saying that, they put out a warrant for my arrest. They pretty much profiled and ambushed me one day at a protest here in Fresno and followed me, followed a lot of our people who left because they didn't know which car I had got into. And the next thing I know, I had four motorcycle cops surrounding me, and they were armed. And so this, and all because I'm standing up for our young black men here in America, Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, all lives matter. And so because I did a big march in West Fresno, called in people from all over the state, I guess the power structure said they had enough of me waking people up because they want people to be dead or is it mine? And so they put out this warrant for my arrest.
Can I ask you a question, Brother Harris? I want to ask you a question here. Well, maybe clarification. Because if they're giving you a warrant because you have mobilized people to come together to speak out for justice, to speak out for their rights, to speak out for the oppression. And when you put on your Facebook and when you put on your Twitter and when you put this out on any way necessary and you send this out to the community to say, we're going to rally at such and such a place, come together to protest an action that's taking place, you are saying to the listening audience that now we have to go and get a permit before we do all of that? I mean, is that what you're saying, that they are now expecting us to go get a permit when a killing takes place in a community and the people are in a rage? They're now saying to us, oh, you have to go out and get a permit first before you gather the people together to be able to have a voice. Is that not part of our constitutional right to be able to speak up and speak out? It's the same constitution that tells us we have the right to bear arms. Is it not the same constitution that gives us the freedom to speak out? Why do we then have to get a permit? Because if you get a permit, then you don't have the freedom, because some people's going to get the permit and some people are going to be refused the permit. So what is going on with this sneaky behavior of our government?
Well, I think it's a sense of control. When you get a permit, you have to write out who's involved. You have to write out what your intentions are. You have to write out how long you're going to be there. You have to, you know, pretty much spell out everything that you want to do. Then you have to pay for the permit on top of that, which then has to go through maybe five or six different departments in the city of Fresno. Now, we have to understand that, you know, I have marched in every four corners of this Mississippi town. You have to understand that I've held vigils. I've been doing this over 25 years. We haven't had not one accident under my watch. We have not had anyone get hurt under my watch. And so this is just a way to send fear to the followers that follow me, which it has failed. I know right now they're recording the radio show to try to build their case for me when I go to court. But we have to understand, Dr. Kennedy, that white folk didn't get no permit to bring the slaves over here to America. We have to understand that white folks did not get a passport to bring black folks to America on those boats. And so we just really have to educate the people about what's really going on about policy here in this country. It's interesting because when a police officer shoots someone in our community, they get to go on a vacation. They get to go on paid administrative leave. But here I am sitting up here protesting for justice. I get a $20,000 arrest warrant on my head. This is the country that we're living in right now, the land of the free and home of the brave.
My goodness, I am so glad that you took a chance to explain, because you know what happens, Reverend Harris? There are some of us who look just like you. We have the same hue. We have the same nappy head. We have the same big old beautiful white eyes. We have the same big old thick lips. We have the same. And we will turn around and say, you know that brother must have done something wrong for him to have gotten that warrant. There are those who look just like you, Brother Harris, that will say, you know that brother must have done something wrong. You sure he didn't do something illegal? You sure he didn't break somebody's law? And they will stay on their side of the fence, not realizing that it takes people like you who will be there for others who are turning around saying, what just happened to my son who got shot by the police? You of all people are extremely passionate because you know what it's like to lose your sister. You of all people are passionate because you have had too many members come through your church who have lost loved ones to the system. You of all people understand what it means to speak out for justice because you know what it's like to go for a court system and to see injustice be done. See someone giving a plea bargain to a family and you're thinking, oh my God, do not take that plea bargain because you're going to literally give away your life. Like Michelle Alexander says, too much of these plea bargains have gotten too many of us behind the prison system. And because you will do the education, you're not just about the emotions, but you do the education. You teach people to know their rights. You teach people how to stand up. The statistics was given just recently, and they said you get very few. There are, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. There are very few black men out of the nation of Islam, there are very few black men that the police department will come upon and ambush and dare to even treat them like they treat the rest of our black brothers. Can I say that again for the record? It is said that there are very few black men in the nation of Islam that are treated the way our black men are treated by our police department. And do you know why that is? It's not only because they're afraid of Minister Farrakhan. It goes beyond Minister Farrakhan. He exhorts his people to be empowered in knowing their rights. And they know that if they take on one black man that identifies himself as a true nation of Islam, they got to take on the whole clan. And they don't have enough room in that courthouse to stand. So they know better than to mess with anybody from the nation. Well, why is that the rest of us then, since we're so critical of the Nation of Islam, since we're so critical when a black person stands up and talks justice and we think that they're trying to start stuff, why then, if we who know to do right and we do not educate ourselves, we do not stand up for our rights, and that is the reason why we continue to fill up these prison systems. And I tell you something, they have now found a way to silence Reverend Harris, but don't be fooled. Reverend Harris is not going to be silenced. He's going to pay more than a $20,000 bounty on his head, dollars on his head, to silence him. Make sure that this is quoted. You cannot stop Reverend Harris on a $20,000 bounty on his head. It won't happen. They've not been able to stop Mamia Ajibar. They have not been able to stop so many others that are in the prison system. What makes them think that they're going to stop Reverend Harris, Reverend Pinkley, and so many others in this 21st century who are standing up for justice? And so we need, as people, to get together and change some of these laws and not give away our power to the establishment that means us no good, it means us harm. So, Reverend Harris, what can we do? What can we do as people? Hearing this, I'm sure you're not the only leader. It's happened to Reverend Pinkley. He's now in prison doing some time because he spoke up to a corporation that was coming into the poverty areas and taking advantage of the. Now they have a bounty out for you. I've got my own fight that I'm going to be fighting in the next few months. I've got a statute of limitation. If I cannot get to raise those funds to be able to change laws, then they would have won. And I intend to change those laws so that we can travel freely from state to state without having to look over our shoulders. So what would you suggest we do, Reverend Harris? Any suggestions for us, sir, as we're coming towards the end of our show?
I think one of the things, Dr. Kennedy, that's important that we have to self-educate ourselves about laws. It's important that you go to my Facebook and go to the different articles that is posted and give your opinion, because your opinion means a lot. Your opinion is just like when you vote. That's power. I think that it's important that those who are listening across the country, across the world, has to understand that what has happened to me is really, in a sense, compared to Dr. King and many, many others, not that it makes it right, but it's an injustice that has happened here in Fresno. When we have a Latino brother who is holding a water hose, who is mentally ill, and the police department know that this brother is mentally ill, and they don't take any other measures to use other than lethal force, and you shoot this brother 9 times and come to find out he had a water hose in his hand. See, we don't pay police officers to think. We pay them to know. And I think that's a conversation that we have to start saying across the country. You just can't run and say, I felt threatened for my life. You have to know
excuse me,
that
Dr.
you felt
Reverend,
threatened.
Reverend Harris, excuse me. We have a caller that's coming in right now, Mario Achille.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hello. How you doing?
Caller, are you there?
Reverend
Go
Harris.
Ahead.
Brother Patch, how you doing? Dr. Kennedy?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Fine.
Mario Achille on the line now.
Okay, my brother. Are you coming in to share or just coming to listen, my brother? Which one? We welcome either.
I came to share. I mean, excuse me,
okay,
to listen.
Go ahead.
To listen.
Okay. Go ahead, my brother.
No, I came in to listen. I apologize.
Okay, no problem. Well, go ahead, and if you need to say something, please just reflect on your call, and Brother Pat will let you through. Brother Harris, go ahead and finish up what you were saying then, because you're very welcome.
And so I think that we have to look at what we're dealing with at face value.
Mario, you there?
My concern is that we
Mario?
Need to have a real conversation. Patch, can you mute your phone? We need to have a real conversation in regards
yes.
to policing that's going on across the country. We just cannot keep sitting back idly and allowing what's going on of a mother who carries her child for 9 months to have him gunned down, shot 9 times here in Fresno recently. And it's unjustified. We cannot have Sister Donnie's son in Stockton, California, where I just left last week. Her son was shot at 48 times and was hit 18 times with a bullet in the back of the head. We got to sit down and have a real conversation of accountability. This is slavery starting all over again and is legalized right now in America in 2015. And so I think that I'm hoping and praying I'm hoping and praying that God will open up a door where we can have a real dialogue here in Fresno with the power structure, with our chief of police, with the city attorney, and these radio hosts who wants to call me out and debate me. But see, you have to understand, Dr. Kennedy, it's not about me. It never have been about me. Police brutality was here before me. It was here before the Black Panther Party. It was here before Dr. King. It was here before Megan Evers, and it was here before Marcus Garvey. And so we have to take it all the way back to slavery. The plantation master created the police department here in this country. So it's you have to connect the dots, and we really have to start having a real conversation and not this milk toast, marshmallow conversation, jelly conversation about community policing. And we have to understand that we're gonna get pushback. We have to understand those of us as leaders. Listen, Dr. King's house was bombed 13 times, over 13 times. His house was bombed. Megan Evers was shot in the back of the head fighting for black folks' right to vote in Mississippi with his three little girls on the other side of the door. We have to understand Rosa Parks did not get up in the bus because she said, I'm tired of being sick and tired of having to go to the back of the bus. I should be treated equally just like anybody else. We have to understand that the U.S. Constitution, which was created by white folk in this country, George Washington and his partners said that we were three-fifths of a human being, less than an animal. And so we really have to connect the dots from the past to the present to understand what we're really facing today and quit allowing the power structure to pick our leaders and pick those who are sellouts in our communities, organizations and pastors and churches and what have you, and priests and what have you, here across the country, because that's why Minister Farrakhan is now going to Washington this Saturday. And he's saying, yeah, justice to us. Justice to us. And he means what he's saying. Say with me. And I also want to tell you this, Dr. Kennedy, I thought was very interesting that I read this morning, that the Poverty Law Center, I think that's what it's called, the Poverty Law Center, I don't know if I'm saying that right. Southern Poverty Law Center. They have Minister Farrakhan listed as a hate person.
Mm-mm.
A hate person. Registered as a hate person. You need to listen. You know, we tell people, listen, don't take our word for it. They have him registered as a hate group, a hate man, as if he's on the same level as the Ku Klux Klan. And so that's really nerve-wracking when we can allow people to call our leadership names and call our people who are spokesperson for us to try to discredit us and our leadership. And so, again, if I'm the sacrificial lamb, so be it. But we're going to use this here in Fresno to be able to education piece, to get a dialogue going here. Hopefully when you come, Dr. Kennedy, we can get it while you're here. I'm hoping we're working on it now as we speak. Got some key people working on contacting these other folks. So let's have a citywide, nationwide, on the radio, on the TV conversation. You want to debate Reverend Harris, who you feel that I'm anti-police, but I haven't shot nobody. I haven't murdered nobody. I haven't raped nobody. And so let's see who Reverend Harris is, and we're going to move forward with a real conversation.
I'm so thankful for your vision, sir. And, yes, I most definitely, wherever I can help to be part of that, I want that to happen. You were also invited to go to one of the universities in Omaha, I believe, or at least one of those states. And hopefully that invitation will follow through, will come around again if it's already gone. We are available, ladies and gentlemen, to come into your states and to have roundtable discussions, to have town hall meetings. Find a church, find a town hall, find a community center, bring your people out, and let us sit there and have a round table conversation. Ask us the questions. We are versed in our information. We have our radio show. We are not Johnny Come Lately. We're very passionate about what we have, what we believe in. And so please, hit us up on our Facebook and give us a personal invitation to come into your community and be able to educate you in what needs to be done. You're not having to pay the kind of money that you'd have to pay for some of our very well-established, well-read folks. You don't have to press up in a special hotel. You don't have to have, what would you call them, bodyguards around us. You don't have to do all of that. And look, if you want to do that, we're not going to stop you. But we will come, cover our heads so that we have a place to sleep, see us when we're there, pick us up from the airport and take us back to the airport. And it will be well worth your while for us to come in and to partner. We have got to go across state lines. We cannot stay in our little vacuums anymore. It is not going to work. We need to start going across state lines and build a solidarity of people together so that they can hear. And we don't only have to speak to black folks. If there are any conscious white people that are out there, we need you to also be stand up. Stand up to the table. Take your white privilege and do us what we need to have done, which is to open up those doors for us so that we can go through those doors, the doors that you closed or your forefathers closed. Open those combinations so that we can go through in solidarity. We know you believe in what we're saying. There are some white people who are willing to lay down their lives for us too, and we tip our hat to you. But we know that there's a place for everybody. There's a place for the white voice to be heard. There's a place for the brown voice to be heard. There's a place for the black voice to be heard. There's a place for the Asian voice to be heard. There's a place for the Native American. There is a place for the straights, the gays, the older, the younger, the disabled, on and on and on. There is enough room here for us, brothers and sisters. We can all work together for the common good of the whole. The enemy is the establishment. The enemy is a system. The enemy is those who head those systems and would hurt us with their policies and their procedures. We must pull down those systems so that we can all have equal rights, as the Constitution has so given us the right to have. So, again, we're behind you, Reverend Harris. We're right there with you, and whatever we can do, we will be there. If we have to mobilize the community to be there if the situation gets ugly for you. Because, listen, when I call to be there for me, and when somebody else on the line calls and says, hey, I have a situation, I need you all to support me, we need to be there. So we're all calling on one another. I need you. You need me. Because we are all family. And so we come together in solidarity to fight the enemy and to make sure we understand who the enemy is. The enemy is not you and I. The enemy is this establishment, this system that's ran by people who are about economic development. They have taken the prison systems. They have created big monies out of that. They are able to send their children to fancy schools. They live in fancy neighborhoods at the expense of you and I. We say enough is enough. Enough is enough. And so, Reverend Harris, anything else that you want to share with us, sir? Reverend Harris. Okay, let us roll down. I know we have a few minutes left before we go up the air. Again, visit our Facebook. Please visit our Facebook. Go on to our Facebook. Let us know that you are hearing us. We are taking these shows to the YouTube so that somebody else can listen to those who are not into Facebook, so you can hear us, hear the passion. We are for reals, ladies and gentlemen. We are well-trained and versed in our areas. I am an organizational psychologist, and I will not take my talents and skills and make corporate America even more richer. I refuse to do that. I'm about helping us to understand the system so that we can dismantle the system. We can dismantle the system so that we can find justice and restore people back to their whole. That is what we're about. Reverend Harris is a civil rights activist, a person who is a minister of the faith, believes 100% in what Jesus stood for, and he is the same kind of personality as Jesus. He'll turn over a table in a heartbeat if you're not doing right. He will not allow us to be trampled under the feet of men. We are out trying to help people to not just save souls, but we're saving the minds of people, saving people's spirits, saving their who they are as a person, their humanity. And we're coming together in one voice to say enough is enough. So we thank you so much for listening to our show tonight. And as we're getting ready to come off the air, again, we thank you for listening in. Please tell others about the show. The young man that came on tonight that's listening, thank you so much for listening to our show. Please spread it around. If you've got a Facebook, go ahead and spread it around. It may be that one of our shows you choose to come in and share your thoughts. There's nothing that is not important. Everybody has value. Everybody's information can be utilized in one way or the other. We're thankful that we have a listening audience that is out there. Thank you, Brother Patch. Thank you, Reverend Harris. I thank me for having the good sense to talk out about the things that I feel is important, because I love my black men. I love my black men, and I do not want to see my black men be trodden under the foot of men and be discarded. I love my black men, and I intend, as a mother who has birthed a man out of her womb, that we do right by one another. Sure, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the black community, but we have to start somewhere. And let's look at these systems, and let's see how we can dismantle these unfair systems so that justice can be done. Justice can have her voice. And so justice can have her voice, and justice can be done. We have a few minutes left, and again, I want very much to make sure that we can stand up for our rights. We just don't ramble on for the sake of rambling on. This is not rambling on. If you think it's rambling on, you're not the audience that we're trying to meet. But if you think that there's passion in what we're saying and that you agree with us and that in your own way you are also fighting in your corner, then we say big up some more power to you, because we cannot lift this by ourselves. It's going to take us all coming together in unity, lifting and marching for a cause. That is what Martin Luther King did. He could have said, hey, me and my family, we're going to get what we need to get. I got a big church waiting for me because my father's a big-time preacher man, and I'm going to be quite cool. I'm going to just have the nice life. No, he left where he was, and he went down for a cause. He looked at the system, and he says, we've got to dismantle their economic stream of economy. And he found a way to blockade the transportation system, and also was able to get the attention that was needed to be able to sit down with these men who make decisions and say, what we want from you is the right to vote. We want the right to vote. You cannot free us from slavery and yet not give us the right to vote. And when he went, he didn't just stop there. He didn't expect to be killed and stop there. He expected us to continue the fight. And are you continuing the fight? Are you able to continue that fight? Are you able, or are you just too nice and too cute? I do not want anyone that's cute around me. I want people to catch my back. And so we're here again to talk about the justice, to talk about truth, to talk about solidarity, to talk about those things that are important